Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk.
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis, still recovering from a weekend in YouTube, and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, SWAF Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. I am also recovering for slightly different reasons, but how the devil are you?
I'm good. We said yesterday, all three of us, me, Luke, and Laurie, are not at 100%.
No.
As overall, I think we're operating 63%.
I'd say that's a rough guesstimate, yeah.
Fakador's had to go... Ooh, Fakador has actually infiltrated us and broken away from the WrestleTalk group, actually, into the fantastic, well, no, the dangerous. This is weird. This is a weird thing to navigate through.
Well, like Triple H promos.
Yes, Screenstalker channel. Ooh, darn you, Screenstalker. Yeah.
But, just call me Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, and apparently from some plants I've got over there, Laurie's pulled a muscle and he's back.
He's really hurt his back, yeah. So he's had to go home.
And you are unwell?
I'm unwell. I wouldn't say it's a cold, but I am very, like, I don't think it's the flu either.
A lukewarm?
It could be a lukewarm. My throat's very scratchy. There was periods over the weekend where I was worried that I was going to lose my voice, which would have made my job quite difficult. So when I wake up in the morning, it's very croaky and I'm very much like this.
Maybe C3 had a cold.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why they didn't let him speak.
Yeah. So my voice warms up throughout the day and it gets a little bit better. I'm not feeling great. But before we get into your tales of debauchery, we had a question in on the Saturday show from one of our Patreon backers about Wade Barrett's, before he did the bullhammer elbow, he would turn over his black pad and reveal a red one. And they were asking, like, was this just to give him more power or was it just sort of indicate that it was... They thought it might be something to do with bullfighting. Like you use red for bullfighting.
It charges up. It charges up the elbow.
Well, that's what we were saying. Yeah, basically. But Frank has emailed in to say that Wade Barrett told him personally it was for a visual clue for people in the cheap seats so they could see what was coming.
Yeah, I think it's a nice touch. I like that reveal.
Yeah, I would like it as well.
And it should be a bullseye.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. Glenn emails in to say that he thinks Andy fans should be called Randy Savages.
Yeah. I mean, how many puns are left?
Let's see, because we've got another one here. it says, hi, Luke. Greetings from Reading. I'm 21 Root kind of guy. Good man. 21 Root. What a root. So I've been thinking about the Dats and Fan thing for a while, and I think I've probably cracked it. Datsepticons. Like the Decepticons.
Dan, dan, dan. Randy Datsun.
Yep. So, Ewan has also emailed in to say, hi, lads. I'm a bit confused as recently you've been trying to find names for Andy Datsun fans, which is all well and good, but there's only like 12 of them. The more important group that needs a name are the 3,700 plus members of the WrestleTalk Discord server, as we're seemingly the only major subsect of the SWAF Nation without an official name, like the Podswafters or Pledgehammers.
Interesting.
Of course, if people don't understand what I'm talking about, they can find the link to Discord in the description for the podcast. I don't think you can, actually. And start talking to us and partake in your own fantasy booking warfare contest, and we're both where we're booking a realistic WrestleMania 35 card. Hope to see more of you guys on the server when you get a chance.
I've got it. I already know.
Yeah, huh?
The WrestleTalk universe.
If you couldn't quite pick that up, that was Ollie Davis making a dry heaving sick noise in his mouth.
It hurts me. Yeah. It hurts me to say that out loud. And that's why I think we should go with it. The WrestleTalk universe.
So you want to name our Discord server your least favourite?
No, it's not about that. I just think that's the last one that we can use this for.
Mm.
If there's any better ones.
Yeah, well, let's have
some... It's a great community, by the way, Podswafters.
Also, we like to farm things out and we like, you know, user-created content. So send in your suggestions of what you think the Discord server group should be called. That does comprise of Podswafters and AfterSwafters and various members of the Swaf Nation. So, yeah, the sort of the WrestleTalk universe kind of is all-encompassing of everyone, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that... It almost... makes sense, but it's still gross. So I'm going to say no on that one for now. But anyway, so you were in YouTube over the weekend, which I believe looks a bit like Germany.
No, I ventured into the heart of YouTube to find out what was going on with El Fakedor. If you're confused right now, Podswafters, you might want to watch the goddamn YouTube channel and find out the epic unfoldings of the last several weeks. And so I went into YouTube. I met Not Calval, which was a manifestation of the YouTube algorithm. And it dropped me off in Hamburg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is lucky because you had a stag do.
In a stag do.
Yeah.
And that's the reason I'm feeling a bit worse for wear, because I am 30 and hangovers are not a 3-hour thing anymore. I remember I never used to get hangovers when I was a kid.
Oh, you remember those days?
Yeah. Those 9-year-old Ollie jumping up out of bed.
Those glorious days where you're like, I'm invincible. Yeah. I can't get hangovers. Or if you've got a hangover, I don't get one of those.
Ha ha ha, adults, mum and dad.
Oh, look at you. Pathetic is what you are. I'm going to make breakfast now. Look at me now.
Yeah.
Look at me now.
Nothing passed my lips apart from alcohol, McDonald's
and Dave
and KFC and that guy called Dave for 3 days.
Oof, man.
And I think your body just...
Sorry to interrupt. Does that mean how many McDonald's meals did you eat? Because surely there's also breakfast in there.
Ah, your mistake there is thinking we were up for breakfast.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So it would sort of be a lunchtime thing, a lunch McDonald's, an evening McDonald's, and alcohol the rest of the time. Oh, actually, man. We went to a beer hall on the Saturday night, which had a massive plate of meat and potatoes. So actually, I ate that as well. But it was the same colour as McDonald's.
What was your meal of choice?
Oh my God! So when you go to different countries, I haven't told you this, when you go to different countries, they riff, don't they, on the usual McDonald's or whatever fast food chain it is, its usual menu. So I'm sure the Americas get different meals than we get over here in the UK.
I think the McRib is like an all-round thing, an all-year-round thing, rather.
Yeah, and I remember, Thailand, I think Thailand's...
McRib is gross as well.
Pizza Hut... They have a stuffed crust sausage where the sausage goes all the way round in like a tire rim way.
Yeah.
Whereas we didn't have that for a long time over here. We're behind the times. And yeah, I walk into the Hamburg McDonald's.
For a hamburger.
And there is a Pizza Mac.
What?
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 Yes.
No.
What's yes for German? Yeah.
Nine.
Yeah. And I thought, oh my God, the image looked as though it was a Big Mac, but the bun was a sort of cheese and tomato infused bun, which kind of looked like a pizza.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah.
And the bottom as well. So I was like, one Pizza Mac meal, please.
Yeah.
I get it. It's tiny. It's a pound saver thing, so like the cheap bit, my whole meal was based around. So I had loads of chips, I had loads of milkshake, not a thirst quenching.
Absolutely not. Joke. That is an error, mate.
It was an error for how bad I was feeling.
Why did you get that?
Because I was still inebriated, and I just wanted that taste.
Yeah.
But no, it did not rehydrate me.
Oh, that'll do nothing for you. No. Absolutely not, mate.
No. and this tiny burger, which was so depressing. Someone else had it. They said it was like burger bolognese. Yeah, it was disappointing.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
But the rest of the weekend was stellar.
Can I tell you a quick story before we get into the show?
Go ahead.
I got recognised on the tube yesterday.
Is that it?
No, yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah, humble brag. I was recognised on the tube. No, I recognised on the tube. And guy came up to me and he just shook my hand. He was like, you know, big fan of the show. I'm watching Fastlane at the moment. He was watching it on his phone on the network. And I was like, oh, cool. You're enjoying the show. I had a little tete-a-tete. And then he's like, I won't bother you for a picture. I was like, no, of course. No, sit down, take a picture.
No, please, take a picture.
It makes me feel, it inflates my ego. And I was like, don't look at my screen, though. I'm writing up the review for Fastlane, so I'll give you spoilers and that. And he was like,
oh, it was on the way in.
Yeah. And so we had a bit of a joke about that. He took his picture and he got off at White City. And then the guy next to me just tapped me on the shoulder and he was like, so who the F are you?
And what did you reply?
I said, I do some videos for YouTube.
She said, I am nobody.
Yeah. I was like, it's not a big deal.
I am really not worth this question. Now I'm embarrassed.
But yeah, anyway, it made me laugh. So we're going to crack on with the show now, talking about Raw, talking about Dean Ambrose possibly leaving the company, and has he been written off TV? I mean, I don't think so, but Ollie has his theories. Here's the show. Dick, dick, diggity, dick, diggity, dog.
Freaking dick, dick, diggity, dick. With Dean Ambrose, who seems to have finally moved on from WWE.
Has he, though?
Okay, so let's replay this. Royal Rumble weekend, he hands in his notice. That breaks a couple of days later. By the end of the week, WWE.com has said, yeah, he's not going to re-sign. Unprecedented step for WWE. I've never seen them do anything like that.
No.
Because it effectively renders the next couple of months a bit pointless and flat. Because everyone knows that he's not gonna, like, what? Why invest in his match with EC3? Because he's gonna go soon.
Yes, and why get invested in EC3, comma general?
He's spoken now.
Yeah.
Mandy.
But
it's similar to when Brock Lesnar and Goldberg both said they were leaving. Well, they didn't say it, but it leaked out. So
yeah, Goldberg was on a 1-year contract, which was going to end at Mania, and Brock Lesnar had already said, I'm not going. And that news then sort of leaked prior to WrestleMania 20.
Mm. But weirdly, and this isn't WWE's master plan, because they didn't know this was going to happen, Roman Reigns came back. And that kind of changed the whole landscape of what could happen. Because now you're like, well, Roman's back now. Maybe he can convince Dean to stay. And they did the farewell tour of the Shield the last time ever at Fastlane. And it, as we said in the Fastlane review, it was lovely.
It was lovely. Really, really nice.
A greatest hits match. House show-esque. I don't think they could have done it any better, really.
Mm-hmm.
And they all do the fist bump at
could
the end.
Could have been a better opponent.
They could have done, yes, half the match better. Now Now you point that out.
Yeah.
And that they said it so much. With Michael Cole going, Dean Ambrose is not re-signing. Where you start to go, maybe he's staying.
Maybe he's staying now.
And there's various reports backstage that you know, it's like the boys in the back are thinking it's a work. Or maybe not a work, but it was real at some point, but now he's coming back round to staying.
I was going to say, I think if Dean Ambrose does re-sign, I don't think there is any grounds to be stood upon, any firm ground to be stood upon to say this was a work. I think it's a case of he was going to leave, then he re-signed, which, you know, that happens a lot. Dolph Ziggler's been doing it for nigh on, you know, a decade or so. He seems to be leaving all the time. But it's because this can't have been a work, because there's no intended person. Like, there's no one to work. Like, what if you're working the boys in the back, to what end?
To work. You're working them to work.
I don't think there's any solid ground to say this was a work.
No. But, it could... I felt like this episode of Raw, it opened with the Shield's farewell address, where Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and Seth Rollins made an entrance through the crowd. New merch. I thought the merch looked pretty sweet, actually.
Well, the Shield always do get the best merch, really.
I don't know. I didn't like the last one. I thought it looked a bit bogus.
Yeah. Also, and this was like, you know, it was advertised as a farewell speech or a, you know, a farewell addressing or whatever. It didn't really feel like a farewell address or anything like that.
No, it was mainly Roman Reigns listing off, like, I haven't had a match in 5 months on Raw. That's going to change tonight. It didn't. Seth Rollins is going on to face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. And then Roman turns to Dean and has this really weird line. And Dean's got, well, Dean's got his own business to sort out.
Exactly. Dean's going to go where Dean's going to go.
Yeah.
And then that was it. And I was like, when they advertised it was a farewell address for the Shield, I was like, they're going to recap the history of the group. They're going to get video packages.
We're throughout gonna the see, night.
Throughout yeah. the night. Exactly. We get like the Shield's best moments. But really, they came out and was just like, well, WrestleMania's in 4 weeks. Seth's got a match. I've not. Neither's Dean. See ya.
Yeah.
And then they left and left Seth in the ring so he could start his next segment.
Yeah, I think your way would have been better, actually.
Oh, thank you.
Because you build it. You had the feel-good moment at Fastlane. That's the real fan service ending to The Shield. And then this, it's the first Raw show of a new pay-per-view cycle. You use this show to celebrate The Shield, but then you end in an angle where Drew McIntyre beats up everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Drew McIntyre was great on this show.
Wasn't he just?
Drew McIntyre is protected, and he's Claymore. It's like a separate thing that is also protected.
Yeah.
So many Claymores. All of them great. And yeah, I guess you build up the Shield throughout the night and then you end on the farewell address. That's the main event segment. And that's when Dean gets written out the company.
I was going to say, because that beat down on Dean to like end off the show was tremendous.
Yeah.
Really, really great. And I thought that the brawl that they had was very, very fun.
It was such a fun main event.
Yeah.
And again, it got over Drew so strong. So yeah.
And he needed it because he's had several months now of just treading water and doing nothing.
So they leave Seth in that opening segment. It was, I thought they were going to do more of a celebratory thing where they each get the mic.
Mm-hmm.
They might shoot. They might actually say some real life, genuine things,
yep.
Tell a few stories, play up to the crowd. You know, I thought I would have preferred that or what you just suggested. What we got was just like a sort of weird footnote.
Yeah, it was a really weird ending.
Mm.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, it was right at the start of the show. It didn't really matter, to be honest. But it set up Roman Reigns versus Baron Corbin for later in the night.
Didn't it just? when that graphic came up, yeah, I was like, oh, man.
But then I'm like, well, maybe this is the end, though. That's the final bit of Baron Corbin versus Roman.
No, it's just the start, mate. He did a promo and everything. I'm telling you, someone sent me a message today going like, it's got to be Roman versus Dean at WrestleMania, right? And I'm like, no, it's Roman versus Corbin. That's what we're setting up here.
How could you possibly get that from this show?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's got to be Roman versus Corbin, right? This is the match that they're teasing. This is the match they keep building to. It's,
or Roman versus Drew.
Or Roman, I'd much rather Which it be is, yeah. Roman versus Drew.
Much but more then, preferable.
But like all of Baron Corbin's promos have been about like how Roman having leukemia was dumb and lame.
Yeah.
Which would suggest that they're still feuding.
I mean, maybe it's just consistency. Maybe WWE have decided that the one bit of consistency they're going to entertain is the most distasteful. And they're just pushing ahead with that.
Fair enough.
So we got the Reigns came out for a match against Corbin. He makes his entrance. Corbin's not out there, but Drew McIntyre sure is. And he wallops Reigns during his in-ring entrance bit. And then just beats the crap out of him.
Great beatdown on the outside. It was superb. And Roman's selling of it was really, really great.
Roman's selling of the beatdown was really good. But there's a spot that sort of concluded the beatdown where Drew McIntyre hits this awesome-looking Claymore. He got so high.
Yeah, yeah.
His foot was above his head.
Yeah.
Onto Roman, into the ring post.
Yeah.
And Roman sold that injury. Really, like quite convincingly, he'd stand up, he looked loopy. He was pretending to have a concussion. Hopefully he was pretending.
Mm.
And Seth Rollins came down. I don't know why Seth Rollins didn't come out sooner.
Hey, let's not get into Drew this again. Maybe they were also banned from ringside. You don't know.
Yeah, the doctors are shining a light in his eyes. And Roman's like, no, I'm fine, when he obviously isn't. And then Seth, it was a very nice moment. Seth helped him to the back, to the trainer's room. I really liked all of it. I like how they're not saying, like, if this was John Cena, back in the worst days of John Cena, he would be back after, if he had cancer, and he'll be beating your strongest guy from the last 6 months.
Oh, he'd have ended this show giving Drew McIntyre the AA.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But Roman...
And the doctors.
Roman has been out with cancer. That's no light
That's
thing.
No joke.
And he, you know, he hasn't really had a good showing outside of that yet. And I hope they do continue to build him back up rather than just like, yes, he is a fully formed person now after battling leukemia. Mm. I'd like to see him get better every week. I think that would help get the fans behind him even more as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And then it kind of led to this really nice segment backstage where Seth and Dean are kind of like convincing Roman that he needs to go and get checked out even though he's the big dog. He's like, Brock, I'm fine. And then Dean is just like, I mean, this is a complete character flip from the Dean we saw literally 3 weeks ago. And he was full of piss and vinegar, and he storms up, finds Triple H, and was like, I want a match with Drew McIntyre tonight, and I want it to be Falls Count Anywhere. And Triple H, no authority figure, said, that's fine, we'll make that match.
Yeah, they had the same beard when they were looking at each other, Triple H and Dean.
Yeah, and yeah, and it led to the main event of Dean versus Drew, which was just a really fun, wild brawl. If you're writing this as them writing Dean Ambrose off TV, which I don't think they are personally. Hmm. I don't think they are. I mean, he's advertised for shows until April. Not that that really like means anything anyway, because
house shows. Oh no, one of them is a Raw taping.
Yeah,
by mistake.
And you know, John Cena was advertised for the Royal Rumble, but so you know, card subjects have changed and all that. But if this was going to be Dean's last hurrah within the company, I thought it was a good way for him to go out.
Yeah, it's really within Dean's wheelhouse as well. This crazed, hardcore, well, not, you know, WWE hardcore.
PG hardcore.
Although there was a pencil spot that we'll come on to,
yeah,
which is completely safe. Maybe ill-advised for what is aimed at children? I don't know, we'll get on to that.
Yeah, I find WWE to be a baffling company in that sense, because they keep going like, we're a PG product, we're aimed at kids, and then they say bitch all the time, and then do things like this, where like, well, this bit, and they also do bits where they're like trying to work adults, or they're trying to, like, or they're making shoot references to things that you read about in the dirt sheets. I'm like, what kid cares? What kid cares about contract statements?
Hold harmless agreements, yeah, like kids, chief operating officers.
There's 6-year-olds sitting there going like, well, I hope Becky signs that hold harmless agreement, otherwise she can't have the match.
Votes of no confidence. Yeah, you're right. But they have such a fun brawl that they start, like, Drew can't even make it down the ramp because Ambrose, rightly so, just runs up there and starts beating the crap out of McIntyre. And they go to an ad break. They come back after the ad break. And it gets across how frantic it is because here's what happened just now. They're brawling in the merch stand.
Yep.
They're brawling in the food area. It was really fun.
I do love their new fake concession stands and their fake food. It's a really nice touch that WWE introduced as of late.
I want the play set.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get onto play sets later.
Yeah. They make their way back into the arena and they're still brawling. It was mainly just both guys throwing each other into things.
Oh, yeah. Here's a thing. I'm going to throw you into this now. It's like watching those backyard wrestling DVDs in the early 2000s.
But there was one spot I really liked, and it's probably more because of the little video someone made off the back of it, when Drew McIntyre's put onto the wheelie box.
Yeah.
Like a
it's
production
probably got, it's probably got cables in it or something.
And Dean Ambrose just pushes him along, and it just hits another box. Drew was on top of the box.
He was fine.
But he sold it like $1 million. He flipped over. But someone has put that together to the theme music of Thomas the Tank Engine. And it looks like Thomas. It looks like the Tank Engine. It's got the right colours. It's got little eyes.
Yeah, yeah. Very nice.
But then, after all this kind of fun, over-the-top hardcore stuff, they fight onto the announcer's desk, and Dean's on top at the start, but then Drew gets on top. He gets a pencil, and he jams it in Ambrose's eye.
Yeah, and it was really funny as well, because just like 10 seconds prior to that, Drew low blow Dean, and Renee's going like, oh my god, that's the worst thing he can possibly do. And Michael Cole's like, I mean, Dean did it to him earlier. It is a low, oh my god, it's a pencil. That's the worst thing he could possibly do.
Yeah.
It's almost like Renee went one spot too early in her, that's disgusting.
Yeah, but Renee.
Props to Ray.
Also, just in general.
Just in general.
Great. I thought Renee Young did her best commentary work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a low bar. But this was her. She was very good in this match, because that's her husband out there. She acknowledged that, and she got a really good balance between trying to remain professional and call the match and, oh my God, my husband just had a pencil shafted into his eye.
Yeah.
But yeah, the idea, I don't think, you know, I'm fine with that. And I'm fine if WWE presents itself as an adult product, but that's quite an easily replicated
imitable
spot for children.
Yes. There's a reason why the Tombstone was banned for so long, because it's easily imitable.
But it was a fun spot. But more fun, I loved, was Dean Ambrose being put in a kind of stair rail on one of the sets of stairs alongside the stage. And his head's just dangling through it. And Drew McIntyre hits a claymore on it.
It looked brutal. Mm. So cool. Yeah. It looked really cool.
I would have preferred that be the end of it. And you go off air like that. Mm-hmm. Because Dean Ambrose does struggle to his feet afterwards. And Drew just hits another one for good measure.
Yeah.
I guess you could argue that Dean was just running on adrenaline and didn't know where he was. But there was, it was such a good-looking spot. I think that's where it should have ended. But yeah, like that's a pretty significant injury. We are 4-5 weeks out from Ambrose leaving. Maybe he doesn't get a WrestleMania send-off. Mm. And this is it for him. Or maybe he does re-sign and he returns at WrestleMania to help Rollins or help Reigns.
Or it's Roman and Dean versus Drew and Baron in a tag match.
Okay. Yeah, it is. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, I didn't think of that.
There are options. Mm. There are options for him to get involved with things.
So you don't feel like this was a finality.
I didn't feel like this was Dean being written off TV at all. It's when you said it as like suggesting it for the title for this video, I was like, that's an interesting way to look at it. So yeah, it's not how I saw it.
Okay. Dig, dig, diggity, dig, diggity dog.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Let's just do some Patreon shout-outs first. Thank you very much, Damian Wade Wilson.
Oh, yes, Damian Wade Wilson. I trust you as Samphara as I can throw you. Yes, nice.
Sean El Blandito Blandford.
Nice work, my friend. Shimmy Gan God, Zachary Robert Crowley Barros.
Woo, yeah.
Yes, nice.
Have a cup of tea, Lee.
Yeah,
tea
Lee.
Lee is his name.
Caught in a Travis Webb.
Ooh, oh, how I get out of here. We're going on a Brian Huntley.
Oh, we are going on a hunt. Get your guns. Charlie, drink it in, Z-Man.
Drink it in. What do you talk about, Jerry Willis?
It's an old reference.
Woo!
And lastly for this episode, King George Phillips.
We salute
we
you.
We salute you, sir. We'll have more of those shout-outs on the SmackDown review tomorrow. Dig, dig, diggity, dig, diggity,
dog. Breaking. We got the Shield farewell address to open the show, but then, as we said, Roman and Dean just left Seth in the middle of the ring, being like, Here you go. Cut a promo now on Brock Lesnar.
You've got your next scripted segment, which is different from Ronda's segment later on.
It was a shame. It was a shame. There was so much more you could have done with the idea of the Shield farewell address.
Because it really felt like they
promoted as well.
It felt like they abandoned him.
Yeah.
Because they didn't say, you've got to stay here now and address, you know, what you're doing at WrestleMania. Roman was like, we're done now. Mm. We out.
Yeah.
And then they just left and Seth was like, it feels weird, but I'm going to stay here because I've got some things to say.
Yeah, I'm not going to come with you. Yeah, I've got to.
I'll see you later, though.
I've got a WrestleMania match. Yeah. It's a pretty big one.
I'm the only one booked for the show thus far.
Yeah. And he starts to talk and Paul Heyman comes out because why would you have Brock Lesnar?
Well, he's back next week.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he hasn't been around since the Royal Rumble, though.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that's 3 weeks out till WrestleMania.
That's because he was too afraid to see Finn Balor.
Ah, yeah, he made him believe.
Yeah.
And also, and are we sure he's going to be there next week? That Paul Heyman gets a call in the ensuing match while Paul Heyman's on commentary, and he's like, yes, my client Brock Lesnar will be here next week.
Yeah.
WWE aren't the best at following through on advertised appearances.
Also, wasn't this the storyline last year?
With Roman, yeah.
They kept advertising Brock for shows, and then Brock wasn't there for those shows. And the idea being that you would cheer Roman because Roman was at the shows.
But this was before Roman got cancer.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen. We just booed Roman, and we didn't cheer Brock as much. So it got no one more over.
Yeah.
So that is bad booking.
Also, do you believe he was on the phone to Brock Lesnar?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I think Brock's more of a FaceTime guy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think. And like, very dismissive. You'll get a FaceTime call, and he'll be doing something else. And it's like you've called him.
So it's the phone call that I don't find the most unbelievable thing. It's the idea that Brock was watching Raw
at
home. I'd imagine if you asked Brock what time is Raw on and what channel is it a part of, he wouldn't have a Scooby-Doo.
The segment requires you to believe Brock Lesnar cares.
And surely his whole character is he doesn't.
Mm. However, this promo between Heyman and Seth finally gave some substance to this feud.
Yeah, I really, really like this. I feel like I'm being down on this, but I'm not. I really enjoyed this.
It was like for the first time, I thought, huh, there's something here. Because Seth says to Heyman's doing his usual, hey, look at this big beastie man. He's full of meat and he beats up people. And they played a video package. And Seth goes, well, in the last year or so, Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, Finn Balor, those are people who have really taken Brock to his limit in a different way to other competitors. And they're more athletic and just...
They're like me.
Yeah, they're like me. So I've got
a scared
real
of people
chance.
Like me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it suddenly made me go, what a great way to retcon some awful last minute changes,
which
turned out to be okay.
And it was kind of great as well, because he was like, they are all like the same sort of size as me, and no disrespect to any of those guys, but I am better. Like, and I thought it was a nice way of not burying anyone else or doing that. It's like, I'm uniquely qualified to beat Brock Lesnar. And I thought it was really nice. But yeah, to your point, then Lesnar was like not making excuses for Lesnar. He made very legitimate claims, which is like Lesnar was preparing for other matches that keep getting changed. It wasn't supposed to be AJ Styles. It was supposed to be Jinder Mahal. It wasn't supposed to be Finn Balor. It was supposed to be Braun Strowman. It wasn't supposed to be Daniel Bryan. It was supposed to be AJ Styles. But Lesnar keeps... But you know what? Even without the training that Lesnar needs, he still comes out on top. And now we know it's going to be you, Seth. So we've been training, and we're just going to kill you at WrestleMania. Great.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Because now I believe in Seth in a different way than I did before. I've always, you know, figured he's going to win the title.
Yeah, we said that about Roman last year.
Yeah. And now, like, I'm also believing more in Brock because he's more focused on this one guy.
Be nice to see it, but yeah.
Yeah. I just thought this was such a... I really like it in comic books because comic book continuity can get very messy sometimes with this person's dead and then there's someone else who's filling in and yada, yada, yada. And it gets out of hand. And then one writer comes in and he's like, I'm going to reboot this. And they somehow reboot it and make all the bad decisions that have come before it make sense. And it creates a better comic book going forward and it's more streamlined. And I thought that's exactly what... I'm assuming this is Heyman. The brilliance of Heyman. He's taken Vince McMahon, crapping the bed last minute, changing all these matches, over the last couple of years, and he's turned that into a really engaging story.
Yeah, I really like this. I thought it was cool. And then, from out of nowhere, a wild Shelton Benjamin appeared.
Yeah.
Shelton Benjamin all of a sudden starts attacking Seth Rollins, and the commentators are like, he's from SmackDown. Brand split, LOL.
Mm.
And that led then to Seth Rollins versus Shelton Benjamin. I'm pretty sure this is like Shelton's first match in over a year.
On Raw.
Yes.
Yeah. Last time we saw Shelton, he was ripping down a green screen in a weird backstage isn't WWE great promo around Christmas time.
Yeah, it was when they were doing their New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, and it led to nothing.
Yeah.
And
the other two people featured in that, by the way, were the Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson and the Iconics to show just how important that segment was.
And they went on to have a fine match. Shelton Benjamin was doing a lot of Brock Lesnar-style offense. German suplexes. Well, it's only two moves, really. And the F5. He even went for the F5 at one point. And Heyman got the call on commentary. But I'm just... It was just too weird for me to get into.
But I thought Heyman saved this on commentary, because he was putting over this idea that, like, well, when Brock was training in Minnesota, Shelton Benjamin was the guy he was working with. Mm. They were tag team champions in OVW as the Minnesota Stretching Crew. So they were kind of putting over that Lesnar and Shelton Benjamin have this history together. And Paul Heyman says, hey, look, I just paid Shelton Benjamin to attack Seth Rollins. I didn't pay to him for have a match. And like, there was not putting this idea, and then Shelton Benjamin took it upon himself to then have a match with Rollins. I thought Heyman did his best to try and make it all make sense.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked it from that aspect.
Yeah, they tried. For me, it still felt a bit Deus Ex Machina. Like, you just introduced this person, and it's a square peg in a round hole.
And you could tell because the crowd did not care.
Yeah. Oh, that's another thing. Yeah. Like, what more proof is there that this was a slightly ineffective angle? But usually I wouldn't care that much, though. I'd be like, huh, Shelton and Benjamin return. That's funny. But later on, they had a Kurt Angle match that we'll get onto, where he fought Apollo Crews. And I just thought, why not wrestle Shelton Benjamin?
Yeah.
Because of the whole team angle history. And they could have gone 5-10 minutes, you know, 9 minutes longer than Apollo Crews had. And it would have actually have been a more history tour through the life of Kurt and career.
But I don't think that's what their intention is with that storyline.
Who knows? It changes so much. Seth won with a curb stomp. And then next up, the Intercontinental title changed hands.
Oh, okay. Do you know what? I've forgotten that again.
I keep forgetting, yeah.
You mentioned that earlier, and I was like, oh yeah, it did. And I've literally just forgotten about it again.
Oh yeah, that is what you should call the Raw review title. So Seth walks out. Finn Balor walks the other way. They smile and shake hands on the ramp. Whatever.
A meeting of the abs.
And then as Finn is walking towards the ramp, Bobby Lashley's face is full screen.
I forgot about that. Oh, it's such a shame that Bobby Lashley was not the thing, because I'd have had that as the thumbnail.
Yeah. Like, he's just... full screen. His head is too big.
It's all face. It is all face.
Just above the chin, just below the forehead. Eyes, nose and mouth.
Yeah.
Entire Titantron screen. That's a big screen. He looks like a human thumb.
Yeah. And you've got Finn Balor looking at this with an expression on his face. They're not like, oh, I'm scared now. Or, oh, that looks like a tough challenge. It's, the hell is going on?
Why is he
up on the screen? What is this? It's like no one had told him that was going to happen.
Yeah, it was stupid. It looked stupid, but it was very funny.
Yeah.
I don't think that was their intention.
Oh, no, it was meant to be threatening, I think. But I thought it was very funny.
So I had fun with this in the review.
Oh, yeah.
Because I thought he looked like Zordon from Power Rangers.
Looking for teenagers with attitude.
Yeah. And also... we've had a direct-to-camera look before from Bobby Lashley.
We have, yeah.
With his three beautiful sisters.
Three beautiful sisters.
He just wants to say how much he loves them.
Yeah.
So they had a standard match that I'm sick of. I was bored by this.
Where Bobby Lashley just dominates and then wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Finn Balor got a few bits, I guess.
I thought Balor came out of this looking absolutely rubbish. Mm. Like, he looked proper crap coming out of this.
But, he did. But there was a little bit of protection in there, I guess, where Leo Rush ran in with a hoodie on and he rings the bell to distract.
But again, it's that 95% of the other guy taking the match, and then you just get a lucky shotgun drop kick and hit your move for the win. Like, that doesn't make you look good at the end. You survived. It just makes you look like you're rubbish, and you can only compete against people that are smaller than you. Because when you get up against a bigger boy, you just get beaten up. Like, I thought Balor, and it's again that we were talking about the IC title change at Royal Rumble, and we were like, oh, maybe this will be the start of something for Finn. What's he done with the belt since he won it? Absolutely nails.
When did you say he won it just then? Sorry? When did you say he won it?
The Royal Rumble.
Elimination Chamber.
Oh, yeah, because he was facing...
3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Sorry. You're absolutely right. He was facing Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble. Mm. My mistake.
Yeah, so it's hot potato time for the IC belt. And it doesn't, like, no one's done anything to give it any credibility. The US... R-Truth gave the US title more credibility on SmackDown.
And I feel that R-Truth had a harder hill to climb with that belt some credibility than Finn did, with all the work that Seth and Dolph did for the belt last year.
Mm. This was... Leo Rush is now back together with Lashley. It's like, what's the point of anything? It's just the same stuff over and over again, and I don't care about any of it.
Well, I guess you had to split Bobby and Leo for Bobby to be a part of the mid-card of Evil, but now that the mid-card of Evil is not a thing anymore, then you can just put them back together.
Why couldn't Leo Rush just hop around them and say, these guys are really good, look at their butts? Someone's already... So they've replaced Bobby Lashley's face on the screen with him pointing at his butt. The memes are going to be fantastic.
Oh my God, it was so good. But yeah, like, it wasn't a squash match because it went really long, but it was like as one-sided as you can possibly get.
I didn't like it. I thought it was boring.
Sucked for Balor.
But I got the feel that Lashley won the belt to go against Reigns.
Oh yeah, there's a possibility they could do Balor Reigns. Bobby Reigns at Mania,
I thought it was a weird way to backtrack on Balor.
Yeah, it's true.
And then you can do Lashley Reigns at WrestleMania. Reigns can have the IC belt. Seth can have the Universal belt.
Great shout. Honestly, a great shout.
I haven't seen that. I just got the feel for that.
Yeah.
And then we got the Corbin backstage promo where...
And this is why I keep thinking it's Roman versus Corbin, because it's all they seem to be pushing on TV is that these two are going against each other.
Yeah. And then we got Ronda Rousey coming out to remind us all wrestling's scripted.
Yeah, it's all fake. All that stuff you've watched previously, that's all fake. And all the stuff you're going to watch after this, except in the Triple H one, because that's also real. Everything else, though, don't get invested in Dean getting kicked in the head while he's got his while he's trapped in a guardrail thing, because it's not real. It's just scripted, mate.
Yeah, so the line here, she didn't explicitly say it, but she called Charlotte and Becky Lynch carny con women.
Yeah.
Which, like, there's no real storyline reason for them to be called that. The reason she's calling them that is because they are professional wrestlers, and professional wrestling came from the carnival days, and that's got negative connotations because it's a swindle.
Yeah.
That's
why we're called marks.
Yeah, it's a work. Marks, because you can fool marks in the crowd. They are marks
to
hit.
You pick out a mark. That's why it's called, a work and things like that. You're working the marks.
So I hated that. But her performance as a heel, I thought, was one of the best versions of her since she's joined the company.
This was like, don't give an F, Ronda Rousey. I'm leaving after Mania anyway. So I thought she did come across much better here as a heel. Like, none of this glad-handing coming down to the ring. This was just coming down the ring. I don't like the content, because I don't see the point in doing this stuff is scripted, but this stuff is real, because I don't think that achieves anything. So I didn't like that aspect of it particularly. So did you see Becky's tweet? She pulled a quote from Roddy Piper talking about how you should never call wrestling fake, because if you do, I will stretch you out before the word has even left your mouth, because you don't disrespect the business that I love. And Becky was just like, you can wear all the plaid and t-shirts you want, but you're disrespecting it.
Her Twitter game is fantastic. Yeah. It's a real... I mean, it's not offensive.
No, it's not offensive. It's redundant.
Well, no, I'm not annoyed at Ronda in a way that works. I'm just annoyed at the whole thing, because I just find it kind of insulting as a wrestling fan. And I get that's why they're doing it.
I was going to say, that's the point, yeah.
I know, but I don't...
But I don't think that works.
It doesn't work.
Like, I think insulting me as a wrestling fan doesn't make me want to see the match more. Yeah. Like, and surely the whole point of this is to make me want to see the match more.
You want me to hate stuff within the confines of the story. You don't want me to you don't want me to have to step back and go, well, this makes me feel like crap.
Yeah.
I'm really, really against it. But Ronda's performance was very good. It's a lot more fun to boo her than it is to cheer her. It'd be if she came in like this originally and she wasn't doing all the PR nonsense, but she wasn't shooting on the fans either. This is like the badass Ronda rambling Ultimate Warrior style promos that could have made her like a flawless character from the get-go.
Yeah, totally. Like, she had a line where she... this is the kind of line that I like, where it's that your church is wrestling and I'm going to come through and desecrate it. Like, that is not saying it's fake and it's all dumb. It's just like, I'm from a UFC background. I'm from a fighting background. So I'm not going to play by your wrestling rules in here. I'm going to come and fight you. And then she follows that up then by saying like, oh yeah, Charlotte and Becky are both jokes. And anyone who follows this charade or believes in this charade is also a joke. And you're like, well, great. Thanks, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very much not a fan of it.
But then who should come out?
Yeah, I said in the Raw review, like after the Shelton Benjamin bit, what is it? Bring your undercarder to work day. Dana Brooke.
Yeah.
Who, against all odds, cut a great promo.
Who's, I guess, is also a babyface now as well.
Yeah, I'm whatever. She comes out. She says that she loves WWE and Ronda's disrespecting it. She works really hard all the time to try and get on the shows, but she doesn't. But Ronda's gifted this spot. It was a good promo, and she delivered it really well.
I didn't like the promo that
much. Oh, really?
No, only because like, and I don't blame her. I blame this because she comes like the first thing she said was like, "I've had enough of your venom," which I'm like, "Well, no one says that." And then she just goes on to talk about, and it's that promo that I don't like, which is just like, I'm lucky to be here. Yeah. I love this company. This company does so many great things. I may not be a big fighter, but I love WWE and I want to fight for the good of WWE. I want to fight for their honor. You rotten scoundrel, you. That's what the promo sounded like. Mm. Also, I'm not a person for to get into conspiracy theories and things like that, but I'm starting to enjoy this one. That's not Dana Brooke.
She does look different.
Does look different, right? But I'm really enjoying these people that are just like, it's like the Ultimate Warrior being like, that's a different Dana Brooke. They've replaced Dana Brooke with someone else.
She always had this ability to, every couple of months, look like a different person, but still kind of like Dana Brooke. Carmella has this ability too.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. Wow. Yeah, okay. Well, it's obviously Dana Brooke version 2.0.
Who knows at this point? Ronda essentially just killed Dana Brooke, flung her around like a rag doll, like really like arm wrenching her. Like, it looked like she was about to throw her arm out of a socket. It looked brutal.
It was great.
And then she hit the Piper's Pit, where she basically landed right on her head. And yeah, it looked great. It looked safe. Mm. And I don't think Ronda's like in any danger of hurting anyone. It just looked really, really vicious. Then referees came down, so she beat them up as well.
Yeah, yeah. And she's just about to put on the armbar. And brilliantly, doesn't.
Yeah.
And not only does she not put on the armbar, which is a great heel move because you don't give the audience what they want, she says, pay $60 and I'll give you an armbar.
Hey, it's only $9.99 on the network. Know, it's free for new subscribers.
Pay-per-views, that's a bit outdated now,
yeah.
Ronnie. But yeah, I like Big Money Ronda.
Yeah, I like Big Money Ronda, yeah totally.
I don't like... breaking. You could have just done all of this but made a big money, like a Conor McGregor style off the hinge,
yeah,
money obsessed character. Why do you have to call into the like question the validity of wrestling?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Then we got Aleister Black and Ricochet versus Chad Gable and Bobby Roode in a very quick match. Well, 4 or 5 minutes. Yeah, I mean, it's the exact same thing we've seen from the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, and it's weird as well because they keep telling this story of like, oh, Gable and Roode don't like these NXT startups. I'm like, mate, they're also NXT startups. Like, you can't. It's not like it's Randy Orton that they're facing against here. I mean, he's a main eventer, so it definitely can't be him. But it's like everyone here is an NXT call-up. You're all in the same boat.
Yeah,
it doesn't work character-wise.
To keep on just saying stuff over and over again doesn't mean there's a story there. It's you've got to have like little backstage skits and
give it reason
and angles in the matches. And again, it's Aleister Black and Ricochet. It's weird because I guess the argument against the argument for the way they're being booked is, hey, they are undefeated. The Black Mass just knocks people out and has been so protected. And Ricochet always looks great. But and on paper, like, I agree with all that. I don't agree with them being a team. I think their value is in singles stars. Mm-hmm. It's inexplicable why they're a tag team. But this isn't... It's not that it's not working, but it's not doing anything. It's like they're walking the wrong way on a treadmill, and mm-hmm. they're just there. They're not getting anywhere.
Or they're walking the right way on a treadmill.
Sorry, yes, I meant an escalator. They've not gone the wrong
way. If you were
to
walk the other way, you'd just fly off, wouldn't you? I mean, I've not really seen one, so I don't know how they work.
Then the Revival. So Black and Ricochet won, as they always do, and the Revival jumped them as they're walking up the ramp.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Then we got a really nice photo montage of Roman with a kid who had cancer or who has cancer. Just thought, that's nice.
It's all at work, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all at work. I like that a lot because, you know, it's relevant as opposed to the Women's History Month later, where Zelina Vega, noted heel Zelina Vega, mm-hmm. spoke to a teenage girl about her female heroes, one of whom was Jennifer Lopez and not a wrestler.
Mm. Well, you know, don't be fooled by the rocks that she got. She's still Jenny from the block.
It was Alexa Bliss in that segment spot last week, but don't worry, here she was back to something even worse.
Yeah, tell me more about how Alexa Bliss is not injured and she's definitely medically cleared to wrestle.
It's like, she is the Bullet Club is fine man. I'm fine.
I'm fine. Yeah. Honestly, I'm totally cleared to wrestle.
So not only was this a Moment of Bliss segment, it was a Moment of Bliss segment with Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, it was because she was her own guest.
Because she says, I'm going to unveil the WrestleMania 35 host. Why WrestleManias need a host? I don't know.
And social media curators or whatever they are.
I just assumed the Saturday Night Live guys from last week were going to be the hosts.
No, they're in the social media lounge.
They're the special correspondents.
Yeah.
Good grief.
But yeah, she puts over that WWE has got 1 billion social media followers. And then she listed previous hosts. They included The Rock and New Day and Kim Kardashian. And I had no recollection of Kim Kardashian being involved in a WrestleMania. And I was like, it was probably when I wasn't really watching wrestling. It's 2008. It's only 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I have no memory of this whatsoever. Did she have an in-ring segment?
What's a snooki? Was she
what,
a
she snooki? Had a, she had a match. She was part of a six. Yes. I can remember that.
She was great.
She was awesome.
With the backflip elbow? Oh, the backflip handspring
She
elbow.
Was the best thing in that match. Like, by leaps and bounds, she was the best thing. She was much better than John Morrison. Bitter John Morrison. Because his girlfriend was in the
match. I love that story. Yeah, so Bliss built up the idea that it was going to be someone big. And they ran a little video package where it had a Hollywood...
We all saw this coming, right?
No, I didn't see it coming. There was a Hollywood sign. There was a red carpet. And I was like, oh, I guess... I don't care, but I guess there's a mild bit of intrigue. And then it just goes, it's Alexa Bliss. I was like, oh, come on!
Oh, mate. Like, when they said earlier in the night, Alexa Bliss is going to announce the host of Mania, I was like, oh, cool, so it's Alexa Bliss then.
So Alexa Bliss definitely isn't cleared. Presumably.
Yeah, so it was originally, I think Meltzer reported that she was injured and she wasn't cleared to wrestle. I mean, she's been doing, like, training and stuff because she posted that video with her with Quackenbush doing some training in the NXT Performance Center. So I think she's, like, she's not injured, she's just not medically cleared to wrestle. And we haven't seen her since the night after the Royal Rumble in ring.
Yeah, and so she was in the Royal Rumble. That was the big shock because she'd been out for months, but she didn't do much at all in the Rumble. And then she had a tag match, which she lost and hardly did anything in either.
Mm.
And then it's been nothing since.
Been moments of blisses.
Yeah.
So I think that she's probably not medically cleared, but she's also a heel again. So there's always that.
I think it
flips between. It depends on who our guest is,
or who if she's on a woman up segment
could
for
be.
Women's History Month.
Speaking of WrestleMania special guests, they recapped the SNL guys from last week. And then Braun's backstage with Charlie Caruso, and he said he likes jacking that dude up by his neck.
Mm. Sounds kinky.
And then a car arrived. And so Braun goes out to have a look at this car, and it turns out that the whole cast of SNL has bought him a car.
Aww.
Which is nice. And then he said they hope he treats it better than Vince's limo, as he's no more title chances to screw him out of. Lol, JK.
Yeah.
And then Braun looks at it and says, quote, let's see what this is made of. Cardboard, by the looks of things, because he tore this car apart like it was the Street Fighter bonus round.
Yeah, so, I mean, this obviously looks like it's building towards Braun Strowman taking on either both of the Saturday Night Live special correspondents or just the heel one.
I think it likely will just be the heel one. Jost?
Yeah, Colin Jost, I think.
Nailed it.
Unless Nicholas comes back, which you said last week.
Said last week.
What a spectacular botch of Braun Strowman through all of 2018 and carrying into this year.
We all thought he was going to be Universal Champion at Crown Jewel.
And then there was the injury and the false advertising for Royal Rumble.
And TLC.
And just, they have done nothing with him.
Yeah.
It's astounding how much they've screwed him up.
And as a character aspect, Braun is not mad at all that he hasn't had that Universal Championship match yet. The match that he won on multiple occasions the right to get at TLC, and he's done it at other times as well, and he's still not getting it. Mm. And now he's just like, well, that's fine, then I guess I'll just beat up the SNL dorks.
Yeah. The random heel turn, the random face turn, it's just momentum slowly stopping.
Mm.
And we all thought he would be safe because look at the size of him. That's exactly what Vince likes. But no, he got bored. So after this, speaking of bored, we got an Elias gig, which was funny. He got the heat on the hometown. And then No Way Jose came out.
With his green dreads.
Yeah, when did that happen?
Recently, because they were mentioning it on commentary.
Okay, so you couldn't. I mean, this could have been on Main Event for years. And I wouldn't
Michael
know.
Cole wouldn't have known.
And yeah, I got a kick. It was a rubbish segment, but I got a kick out of this because I don't like No Way Jose. And I got to see him. He's congering round the ring and Elias jumps through the ropes with a double foot.
Yeah, and he gives him the drift away on the ramp and beats up some of the sex party as well.
That's good. Yeah, that was cathartic for me. I thought you can't do the same thing with Lacey Evans, unfortunately. Intergender wrestling isn't really allowed.
But I think she might be getting a storyline now.
Well, let's hold off and see. So next we got the Hall of Fame announcement of Harlem Heat, Stevie Ray and Booker T.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to hear my joke?
Go ahead.
Booker T is going to be a two-time Hall of Famer.
I mean, it would have been a good joke, but Renee and Cole made that exact same joke on Raw.
Oh, did they? That flew over my head.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
Damn it.
You're as good as WWE writers are for Cole.
They hit gold once in a while. Then we had... Okay, well, what do you think? This is where Lacey Evans came in.
So Lacey Evans came out to do her usual shtick, which is now it's walking.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, she walks over to the commentary desk, and instantly I'm like, something's going to happen here. And she walks over, and she flirts with Corey Graves. And then everyone else going like, what's all that about, Corey? And he's like, I don't know. And then she starts to walk again. Nia Jax and Tamina come out. Lacey looks at them and then just walks to the back. Now, I'm not saying it's a storyline.
Maybe it was a rib.
Maybe it was a rib. I don't know. All I'm saying is that it was different to what she has been doing for what feels like a year. And I know it's only been 4 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever. It's felt so much longer because it's nothing.
I point your attention to the direction of heavy machinery. So something has happened in the walks before that was never followed up on.
But that was the start of the walks, though, wasn't it?
I think it might have been the second week. Anyway, it got more boring, if you could possibly imagine that. Nia Jax took on Natalia. Natalia is angry with Ronda Rousey because...
But it's okay, she's got a new best friend now.
Yeah. Oh, when she said that, my best friend, Beth Phoenix, I don't care who your best friends are. Why is your entire character defined by who you're best friends with?
It's because she's a cat person, I guess. Are cat people this way? I don't really know.
I don't know.
But anyway, she's got a new best friend now, which is Beth Phoenix. This, by the way, only women's match on the whole show.
Mm. Beth Phoenix looked hench.
Yeah, she looks jacked. She's looking jacked, man.
You know, like when they brought all the women back, excuse me, for the Women's Royal Rumble, and you had like Michelle McCool in there, and she was hanging with everyone, record number of eliminations. That annoyed me because I didn't believe that she could just walk back in and hang.
Yeah.
If Beth Phoenix just walked in there, she looks so in shape. I was like, yep, she could probably beat up Santino all over again.
Yep, she's the Glamazon. And remains to be the Glamazon.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this wasn't really a match either. It just sort of like Beth jumped in basically immediately and a brawl broke out and the heels ran away. So not great showing for the ladies on this week's show.
Barely went a minute. They ran away into Sasha Banks and Bayley jumping them backstage. And the crowd just didn't care. I didn't care. This was so boring. Yeah.
Yeah, not great. Anyway, some limos arrived and it's Big Dave.
Now we're talking.
Yep.
This was by far the best thing on the show. I feel like we've been quite negative on the show, actually. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the main event. I enjoyed the Shield stuff in general.
I enjoyed the Shield stuff and I enjoyed this. I can't say I got a bit bored during this show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a bit, I was doing a lot of yawning.
Especially after a Raw after a Fastlane, like a long pay-per-view. It's just like, oh my God, there's so much wrestling.
Yeah.
That you get a bit of fatigue. But this, I thought, was spectacular. And I think people are going to laugh at it. It's weird. Okay, so it's Triple H and Batista. They've been built up as having this face-to-face tonight. Triple H comes out. He's no longer Corporate Hunter. He is Leather Dad Jacket Hunter. The sort of attire he wore in the Undertaker build.
Exactly. He's on his second stag do for his third marriage.
And then Batista came out. He arrived earlier in the limo with sunglasses inside, the blue nose ring, and surrounded by security.
Okay, so this is the one part of the segment I didn't like. I thought this was actually really cool. I like the security surrounding him and Batista going like, I'm not an idiot. Like, I've played this game with you before. Like, I was a student under you. Your sledgehammer's not too far away. I know that. So I've got this security here. I'm doing this for my own protection. And then Triple H had to do the Triple H thing of calling them all, like, local wrestlers from the independent circuit as a way to kind of pop the people who watch the show and know that security guards are just local wrestlers from the independent circuit. And I'm like, you don't. It's the Ronda thing all over again. Mm. As soon as you point out that something is scripted and fake, I'm like, well, of course, now I know they're not really security guards then. Why are they even there? Why did Dave go to a local wrestling school and then ask them to come pretend to be security guards and put on security uniform?
Wrestlers looking to break into the biz might temp as security personnel.
That's not what he said, though, was it? He was making a pointed reference. It's a Pritchard. He was making a pointed reference because he knew it would get a laugh.
I know what you're saying.
And that's fine. It didn't work for me.
Okay. I agree. I agree with your problem with it. However, I laughed. So it's sometimes when I laugh, I just forgive things. Because the exact line was, oh, you've come with your Guardians of the Independence scene.
Yeah.
A Guardians of the Galaxy joke. I thought that was funny. I liked it. But Batista, just standing there, the man's presence is incredible.
He's awesome.
He just soaks up heat and he feels, he is on another level to every other performer acting-wise in the entire company because he is a very good actor.
An incredible actor.
Oh, and
I would say he's the best wrestler turned actor.
Yeah, in terms of actual serious performances.
Yeah, I think The Rock's grand and all, but The Rock, for the most part, does a Bruce Willis and just plays The Rock.
Mm.
Whereas I think Batista plays characters.
Oh, totally. Drax, the Blade Runner character,
yep.
Where he's got glasses and you're like, is that Dave Batista?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, Batista has said that himself. He said, The Rock and John Cena aren't actors. I'm an actor.
Yeah.
I work with Denis Villeneuve. And, but, you know, he's not wrong.
No, he's not wrong.
He's a character actor, and I think he's fantastic. And he must have devised this version of Batista, and because it's fascinating. He's standing there trying to keep a hold on things. Like, he's obviously so angry, and he's saying, you know, you've been in control all my life. You were in charge in Evolution, and now I'm in charge. I'm in charge, Daddy. Is that sort of thing?
Like,
it's a whole Oedipal complex thing coming out. It's the student wanting to beat up the teacher, or the son replace the father. But it's not in... Usually that is you root for the son to overcome the teacher. But this is the son's the bad guy. And the way you pull that off is you make him a really petulant, childish character.
So you're saying that Batista is Damian Wayne?
Yes! That's not a Damian Wayne or... Superboy Prime.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. So it's really well done. And it was all encapsulated by this exchange where it seemed like they forgot their words, but I think it was intentional, where Dave's like, you know what I want.
Give me what I want.
Give me what I want. Give me.
What do you want, Dave? What do you want, Dave? Give me what I want. What do you want, Dave?
Yeah.
Give me what I want.
It went on for ages, but I thought it worked really well.
Yeah, I did write at one point, this is going round in circles, but I did like it.
Yeah, I was completely transfixed by it.
There was a point during this when he just kept shouting, give me what I want, that I thought, he doesn't want a WrestleMania match. There was something bigger that he wanted from Triple H. And then it was like, I want a WrestleMania match. I was like, oh no, that is what he wants. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you might have struck on something there. Like, really is the underlying part of this story, Batista does actually respect Triple H. And Batista wants Triple H to retire him.
Yeah.
So that could be the big... Like, he wants Triple H to rise to the level where he's good enough to beat Batista. And that is really what he wants. But yeah. That's subtext.
Exactly, yeah. I thought it was really cool. And he was just shouting at him, like, you know, give me what I want, give me what I want. Spraying everywhere.
Oh, yeah,
it was like Bobby Lashley, you know, like wrestling with the sweat pouring off of him. Just spraying, like a spit flying everywhere. Give me what I want. And then Triple H accepts. And all of a sudden, Batista just reverts back to his core. And he was just like, thank you. And so I'm going to enter my career on my own terms, and I'm going to end your career on my terms as well.
Great line.
Great. I'll see you at Mania.
Yeah. And it's I thought it was fantastic. This is so far one of it's only been three angles. You've got the one back at SmackDown 1000, you've got the Ric Flair one, and you've got this one. I'm not counting the Triple H solo promo. I'm talking about things where they're in the same building.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a hell of a track record. What a well-built feud this is.
It always happens for Triple H matches, isn't it?
It's weird.
So weird.
It's a coincidence thing.
Always Triple H matches that have the best build.
But Hunter accepts it's not just a WrestleMania match. It's a no-holds-barred, no-disqualification match.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
AKA the Smoke and Mirrors match.
Yeah. But... I mean,
I don't mind it, mate.
They're gonna go for it.
They are. I mean, it's Batista's last match, man. Like, this is what he's always said in interviews, that he's like, I want to have one more WrestleMania match. I want it to be against Triple H, and then I can ride off into the sunset and just focus on my movie career.
So fantastic, absolutely fantastic. And then finally, because we've covered all the Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose stuff, which comprised the two main event segments, Kurt Angle came out and announced he is going to be having his last match at WrestleMania 2.
Yeah. That's it, pretty much.
And this is his hometown. It's Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's his farewell match in WWE. He's gonna retire at WrestleMania. It was a storyline that has been rumored. Dave Meltzer initially reported it like last year that was the plan. They were going to do a Kurt Angle retirement match, but then they couldn't decide whether they did want to do it. And that's why they had Drew beat him. That's why they had Baron beat him, because they were going to tell that story. And then they decided not to do that. And then Kurt just started teaming with Braun Strowman, so he started winning again. And now they decided they are going to do that, but they haven't got an opponent picked out for him yet. But they think, the rumor is, it's going to be John Cena, and that's going to be the John Cena match. And a John Cena-Kurt Angle match, yeah, it sounds great and all, but... And it's nice because it was Cena's debut match on TV against Angle, so there's some nice sort of like mirror symmetry there, but I don't get on with doing retirement matches. And you could make this argument with Batista and Triple H as well, but I think that's slightly different because Batista's a kind of a sort of
there's
special.
A built-in story there.
Yeah. But with Kurt Angle, I just feel like, why didn't you do it with a younger person and maybe give that younger person the rub and maybe make a new star out of them? But I mean, I guess that's not their mantra at the moment, but why not give this to an Aleister Black or a Ricochet or something like that?
A Drew, I think.
Yeah,
Drew. If you never did that match a few months ago.
Exactly, yeah. And like the other names that Angle was saying in that backstage thing was just like Samoa Joe's a big name. And you think, well, that as a TNA mark from back in the day, that's wonderful to me because I'm much more into a Samoa Joe Kurt Angle feud than I am the Kurt Angle John Cena feud. Mm. So I if it was me and I was doing Kurt Angle's last ever match, and you know, his farewell match and his farewell WrestleMania match, I would use that to build a new star rather than just give it to John Cena, who's going to get nothing from it.
I don't really mind Kurt Angle John Cena if that's the direction they go in. I understand the problems and I do agree with them actually, but I'm so beaten down by the larger Kurt coming back to WWE story. That this is my favorite wrestler of all time. Mm-hmm. This is the guy that I was obsessed with as a child when I was really super into wrestling. And not that I'm not super into it now.
You hate it now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I can't stand it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's come back to WWE. It was a rush job that I believe was done to prize him away from that Channel 5 wrestling series over in the UK.
100%, that's the reason, yes. It's the same with Jim Ross.
So it was a rush job, and then they made him the Raw general manager. He was emasculated for a year. He hasn't had any proper feuds by himself. He had he's a footnote in that Kurt Angle in the tag match with Ronda at WrestleMania.
And even then, he was the last choice.
Yeah.
Because they wanted loads of other people before they got to him. Batista was one of them, yeah.
And I look at the roster, and when Kurt joined, I was like, well, it's a rush job, but they're doing it. Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura, Daniel Bryan, all of these dream matches that Kurt could have. And they've
even if they're matches we've seen before.
And they've done none of them. And it's just, what a spectacular waste of my favorite ever wrestler. Well done, WWE.
Good job.
And also, what was the last few months of Kurt just falling short all about?
Well, that's it. They just dropped that storyline. So apparently he's great now because he beat Apollo Crews in very short order. And
a couple of minutes.
Yeah. And I thought, okay, so we're going to do like a Kurt Angle farewell tour leading up to WrestleMania where he has his farewell match. But then Angle said in that backstage interview thing that you sent across to me, it was like, yeah, that was probably my last TV match before Mania. So cool, I guess. So it's like, it's not even getting a storyline. Mm. It's not even getting anything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, overall, I gave this a core.
No way!
I know, it's weird.
What?
Right? But after we finished talking about it, I feel a bit beaten up.
Well, I mean, I got various different messages yesterday on the old Twitter machine saying that we were too positive about Fastlane. And that so a lot of people thought it wasn't that good a show at all, and we were being too praising of it. I think you were being too praising of this show.
Yeah, I agree with you. now we're here in the moment.
This is going to be one of those times when you look at the poll afterwards, and I don't think you're not. You always say like you're out of step with the viewership if you're too off.
Mm.
I think you might be too off on this one.
Yeah, it's weird because I've hated the last few weeks,
and people have liked it.
I don't know. I love the Batista Triple H thing so much, and I really enjoyed the main event. And I think leaving on the high of the main event with Ambrose might have coloured my overall opinion of the show.
It's how you leave them, folks.
I mean, we got a title change as well.
I forgot about it. I forgot it again. I think I would have given it a generous average, if only for that main event in the Batista segment. But even in that Batista segment, there was a line that wound me up. So, yeah, but I would have gone with an average.
Yeah.
I made a joke about cat people in that episode.
Meow.
So my parents have recently moved to a, they've moved up north. They've moved into Herefordshire. And when we were there over Christmas, we discovered that they've got a cat now.
You didn't know that? You discovered they had a cat?
I discovered they had a cat. There's a reason why I didn't know they had a cat. It's because my parents don't own a cat. But okay. Their neighbor's cat comes round and likes to get into the house.
Cat's way. Yeah.
Yeah. And then
get a meal from every house in the village.
Yeah. And then my parents are just like, oh, the cat's back again. The cat's always coming in here. And then my dad goes to the cupboard and gets a little bowl of food out for him. And I'm like, why are you feeding him? I was like, it's not your cat. It's like, oh, he's all right,
oh,
though.
Oh, but look at your kitty cat.
Yeah, like, oh, he's so cute, though. And I'm like, it's not your cat. Stop feeding the cat.
Oh, but look at the kitty cat.
And I was like, I've got a big thing about this. I'm like, because cats don't care. Cats do not care about humans. They are just, humans are vehicles for food. Cats don't show love because they don't know what it is. They just want you to feed them and to leave them alone. And they will
want that.
And they will
they
just
want cuddles.
And they will sit. They will Milky, no. They will cuddles. Do cuddles if they think they'll get more food out of it.
Oh, but they want the cuddles
no.
too.
Anyway, me and my wife made this joke saying like, "Crikey, when we come up for Christmas next year, he'll be on the Christmas cards. Like he'll just be a part of the furniture."
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, my parents will still be going, "That bloody cat's back again. Here he is. He's bloody back again."
But they love it.
But feeding it and everything. Yeah. Went out for dinner with my mum last night. Do you know what she said in those exact words? Bloody cat. I'm like, well, stop feeding him then. Stop giving. And then my mum told me the story that, we walked up the stairs the other day and like, because he usually just goes into their kitchen. It's like, he was sleeping on your bed. And I'm like, oh, so he's really starting to invade in the house now. He's like, yeah. And he's also found another way into the house because we opened up the screen door. So now he knows that he can go there and he can also get into the house that way. And I'm like, you may as well just adopt him then. Mm. Why are we keeping up this pretense? Get a cat.
Because it's someone else's
yeah,
cat.
Yeah, I know, but it's not their cat. Anyway, I had to get off my chest.
So add that to the list of beloved animals that Luke hates.
Well, actually, I might be getting a dog, but that's
another
story.
Oh, really? You're gonna go ahead with that?
Yeah, but it's a conversation I need to have with you. So,
why with me?
Well, this is a dog-friendly office, so there's chats that I need to have about that sort of
thing.
The
dog can't come in.
Is that a definite thing?
Yeah, I'm very allergic.
But this is a hypoallergenic dog. You're not allergic to them. We checked.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, that there's a reason we haven't got a hypoallergenic cat because there's a 30% possibility that I'm allergic to all hypoallergenic animals.
Okay, well, that's a fact I did not know. Okay. So that is a fact
I
can relay back.
Hypoallergenic is less allergic to a lot of people. I mean, freaking the... As part of the stag do... We went on a beer coach,
mm-hmm.
and would you hear beer coach, you think, oh, that's like a journey from pub to pub, like a bar crawl, or maybe even a coat, like a megabus,
yeah.
with just some booze on board. It's neither of those things. It's a horse-drawn carriage
what?
With a coach on the back, like a horse coach, Red Dead Redemption style,
yeah.
and a table in there, and beer bottles.
That's kind of rad.
Yeah. Well, you know, unless you're really allergic to certain types of hair
yeah,
on animals.
Yeah, that sucks.
I sat right at the other end of the coach, 18 people, so 9 people along. And within half an hour, my throat had closed up. It had gone red on the outside.
Yeah.
I was wheezing. And I couldn't join in as much as I would have liked to.
Oh, mate.
On the Elton John sing-along.
Oh, what? That does sound the worst.
It was International Women's Day. We went past an International Women's Day march, and we sang your song. And, yeah, everyone was cheered up.
Oh,
and
lovely.
I think everyone there agreed that everything's okay.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
You just improved their lives.
Equality is a thing.
Yep. Thank
you. Solved
God.
It.
Good
Ticked.
Good job we got that one sorted then.
Next one. Palestine, Israel. I hope you don't mind.
We got this email in from Brock as well, which I thought was quite fun. It was it's called Catching Up with WrestleTalks. He says, to the Podmaster, the Pokemaster, and Ollie.
Pikachu!
I finally caught up with all of the WrestleTalk content after coming home from traveling around the USA with my now fiance, another puppy love couple proving Ollie wrong, where I wasn't able to watch any of the YouTube videos or listen to any of the rambles either. It's been tough getting back into my long working weeks after having so much of a long time off traveling and just having fun, but you guys have kept me company for the last few weeks. Roughly 120 hours, if my calculations are correct.
In how many weeks?
Well, he just says weeks plurals. Doesn't say how few or how long weeks they were.
Is that how much content we put out?
Well,
good grief.
Yes. So thank you for that. Anyway, I just wanted to put my two cents in on some of the topics that I missed out on. Number one, you were robbed, Luke. A desk and a table are the same bloody thing. Two, different sizing in clothing is really annoying. I don't see why all countries don't just have the same sizing charts. Three, masks wearing in March. It rhymes, so I guess that makes sense. Four, 80% fact, an emu and a kangaroo are both holding the coat of arms on the Australian 50 cents coin. This is supposedly because both animals cannot move backwards, so therefore the country shall not move backwards.
Huh.
Good 80% fact.
Yeah.
Love that as an 80% fact.
I wouldn't be confident to say that to anyone.
No, but
I like it.
I like it, and I might remember some of that and relay it on to other people.
But slightly incorrect.
That's right.
You'd
yeah.
say there's a shark on there.
Number five, Randy is definitely fudging the numbers on Wrestle League. His workspace is kept dirty, so no one will find the evidence. Number six, get yourself a Switch, mate. So maybe we can have a big Swaff Nation Mario Kart Smash Brothers tournament. And seven, I've attached a photo that I think Ollie will like, which we'll come to in a second. And finally, if you go...
Kelly Kelly?
It's not. I didn't know you were a Kelly Kelly man.
I actually got my blonde women mixed up.
Yeah.
I meant Tori
Wilson. I thought you might have meant that. And finally, if you guys have got a storyline planned for WrestleMania season, what do you mean by storylines? It's all real around here,
What's
mate.
What's a kayfabe?
You should do another head-to-head battle with Cultaholic where the winner permanently will get Randy in their office. Therefore, you
mean
can,
the loser?
Well,
gets Randy
he writes, office. Then you can purposefully throw the entire battle. Sorry if that's a bit long. Yours in Swaffness. And that's the image that... Oh, I've just lost it there. That is the image that he's attached.
Ho, ho, ho! It is a sort of more adult-looking version of Judy Hopps from Zootropolis or Zootopia, depending on where you live.
Yes. With some abs on show.
Yeah, she's been working out.
She has been working out.
Doing a bit of bunny yoga.
On that topic, would you like some 80% facts? Because, boy howdy, we've been sent a lot.
That's good.
Oh, mate.
I'm glad this has taken off.
Absolutely. If you have left yours on the Patreon page as well, please do email them to me because I may not catch them on the Patreon page. One of them in particular, I'm going to try and remember, but I might misremember some of this now. But it's that part of the royalties for Fleetwood Mac's Rumours album goes to their drug dealer.
What? Wow. Not their divorce lawyer.
No, absolutely not. Which I like that as a fact. I don't know if it's true, but you know, we're not going to look these things up. Anyway, this one comes in from Martin.
Oh, did anyone say that we should look them up?
Well, someone actually sent in, there's an FAQ on the Walkers website that does say that their expiry dates are always on a Saturday.
Whoa.
And it's just because of their production cycle. That they just all get produced on a Saturday.
Makes sense.
Yeah. But that's just Walker, so I don't know for other things. Pret also got in touch with me on Twitter to say that they have different different ways of doing things. So there you go. Pret are even getting involved in this kind of chat about 80% facts.
Nationwide debate.
Yes. Anyway, Martin emails in with his 80% fact that says, hello, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, and I swear there's someone else, a vital member of the WrestleTalk team. Yes, Pete. I've got an 80% fact that I've shared with every wrestling fan I've ever met, but I've never checked the facts. Do you know why the Japanese love wrestling so much and why it's taken seriously? Do you?
There's a really good book by Chris Charlton on the history of New Japan.
So what is your understanding?
Not just the history of New Japan, but it's called A Lion's Pride, the whole wrestling industry. My brain isn't fully functioning.
Do you want me to read what Martin suggests and see if you can kind of match anything up? After World War II, when the Brits and the Americans won, they imposed bans on the opposing nations. Among other things, competitive sports were banned, meaning Germany and Japan couldn't compete in the Olympics. I think this ban had something to do with preventing gambling as well, which I do know that's definitely a thing in Japan. As for the Japanese sports industry, as the Japanese sports industry dried up, professional wrestling grew in popularity as it was not classed as a competitive sport. As the result was predetermined, but the audience treated it like one to get their sporting fix. As time went on and bans were lifted, wrestling had become part of their pop culture and was still treated very seriously. However, I've never checked any of this, therefore it's an 80% fact.
I mean, there's probably loads of reasons for something so embedded in culture over decades and decades. But it's also the Americans went over there and sort of set up shop for a long time. That's why baseball's such a big deal in Japan as well, because the Americas just brought over their own things.
The bat game.
Yeah, the bat game and professional
Loads
wrestling.
Loads of touchdowns.
I think it started off in sumo as well. And I can't. Look, I knew I would know all this usually. What's the other thing? Oh, right. So part of the there was a lot of resentment in Japan against their occupying forces. And they would professional wrestling was a really good way to have local Japanese wrestlers overcome foreign gaijins.
Ah.
And that was a very, you know, it was very seriously taken. And did you listen to Dave Meltzer's podcast recently about the passing of...
I did not.
What's he? I can't remember.
I haven't listened to a Meltzer podcast in 6-8 months.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. It's been a long time. I didn't get time to listen to them.
Oh, blimey. Well, I can't remember his name now. He's quite famous. He was in WCW, I think. A Japanese guy who died this week.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name because my brain isn't working.
Part of Kansai.
Yeah. He managed them, yeah. And he...
It's Yamaguchi-san, I think.
When Dave WWF. Meltzer would go over to Japan, he'd stay with him. And the guy was like, I'm going to show you what it's like to be a Japanese person or a minority person in America. And I'm going to treat you like how all Japanese people would treat gaijins at that time. And gaijin was a lot more of a charged term.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That was a rambly answer. I don't know what I'm talking about.
It was
but
great,
read
mate.
Read Lion's Pride if you're interested in it. It's a fantastic book.
Good content by Ollie Davis.
Yeah, Jesus.
We'll have one. We'll have one more fact here.
That was an 80% fact. God, that started off as a 70% fact.
Yep.
I could just see the counter dropping
along
like
with your
pointless.
Energy levels. Anyway, this one comes in from Harrison and says, as a musician, when I first picked up a guitar, the first thing I wanted to know how to play was Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses. I did. It was easy. I then heard the only reason that we have that iconic opening riff is because Slash was high as a kite while trying to play a scale, which made sense.
I've heard that too.
Not sure how true this is, but I guess that's what makes it an 80% fact.
A lot of drugs and music, 80% facts today.
Yeah, nice, isn't it? He also said that he's booked a cabin for the Jericho Cruise.
Jericho Cruise 2?
Yeah.
Has it got a different name?
It's Part Deux. It's the Jericho Cruise Part Deux, I believe.
Deux. Yeah. Like Hot Shots.
Exactly, yes. Let's have this one quickly before we get out of here from Aaron. A Hawaiian pizza is called a Hawaiian pizza because pork and ham is so tough in Hawaii that they need to use pineapple to tenderize the meat. Not sure I heard that fun fact, but you can tell your friends if you like. Peace out.
Cool.
Cool. 80% fact, mate. That's all we've got time for on this show. We'll be back tomorrow with the SmackDown review. Vinny Mac's going to be on the show, the SmackDown, not our podcast, talking about, he's going to address the Kofi Kingston situation. And we're also getting a rematch between Samoa Joe and R-Truth. So there's that to look forward to. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
One-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way. Because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.